for you for coming. Keep coming out. I fancy that. People keep coming back for more. I think, wow. Okay, well, more it is then. More it is. There's lots. How many are you discovering? There's lots there, and it's far more than you thought. And I've just touched the surface of this. There's just so much. It's everywhere. So I encourage you to do your own searching, mark your Bible, and make it your pursuit to make it your revelation. Because one thing for me to teach what's been built into my life, another thing for you to make it your revelation. So actually it becomes a fire that moves you. And then other people will do what they're going to do, but that's not going to affect you because you have a goal in mind. Hey, okay then. Well, I'm just trying to work out where to go tonight and sort of shift a few things around. So you'll find me in the meetings. I'm thinking, I'm worshiping and thinking and I'm listening and writing, doing stuff. So I find it hard for me to write messages out because, one, I don't like writing, but the other thing is, two, is I keep getting fresh ideas and things and pull it all apart and move it all around. You know what it's like. I'm there till the day. That's the prophetic. So what I want to do then, I want to, we'll just see how far we can go tonight with this message, but I want to look at an overview of eternal rewards. So you've got an idea, and then you start to look. Once you've got the overview, this is what you're looking for. And I'll actually, in the end, after giving the overview, break it down. These are three things to look for. And then tomorrow when we get into the parables, you'll see them there real clear. And okay then. So we're just going to look at tonight at the overview of what the rewards are. And so firstly, a great theme in Jesus' teaching was the coming kingdom and what that would involve. And everyone that he was talking to already understood of a coming kingdom. They'd heard it all through the prophets for 100 years. So when he said, repent, the kingdom is at heaven, is at hand, they're thinking of a geopolitical kingdom that would overcome the Romans and then would become the center of the glory of God and riches and wealth and prosperity like it was under King Solomon. That's what they thought. So when Jesus taught, he's trying to show them, well, actually, what happened in those days was a preview of it, but this kingdom is firstly spiritual. And so your enemies are not just the Romans, they're the spiritual powers, and I've come to deal with them first and establish a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men. Then those people who respond will access and be part of that eternal kingdom, coming kingdom. So this is a great theme. And notice, as a part of that, there was always, you know, what's in this for us? Like the disciples even said, well, we've given up everything to follow you, what's in this for us? And he told them. There's reward. There's always reward. You see it all the way through. And different, may not use the word reward, but you'll find it in different ways. And so here, for example, in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. It's very, very clear. Nothing could be clearer. And then he goes on to give them a preview of it. So when the Son comes in glory, that's the day of reward. So it's like, payday for us is ahead. It's ahead of us. So if people don't notice what you do and don't say thank you for what you do, don't worry, that wasn't your payday anyway. Yep. And if you made that your payday, too bad, you missed out on the other payday, which is the big one. So if people treat you bad, it doesn't really matter because God's got a payday. He's watching how you handle it. Will you be his representative? And so really, when we share the message of sonship, it's basically about living an intimate relationship with God as your Father, representing him as your Father, as a son of him, and is what he's like, and behaving like what he would behave like, and treat people like he'd treat people, and then doing what he called you to do, serving him. This is not hard, not complex, not rocket science. And so there are many different types of rewards. So if you start to look and say, let me have a look and see what God promises to give that relates to the eternal realm, and you find there are all kinds. You read through Revelations 2 and 3, read through the book of Revelation, heaps of promises. And these are promises, means you there's something you do. These are rewards or an acknowledgement that you faced a challenge and overcame it. How about that? So many of the eternal rewards that are described are something that's a part of our future destiny. So some things we get now, but there's a lot. The bigger stuff is lying ahead. So, but it does require like that we live a life of responding to God. So for example, in Colossians 3:22-24, Colossians 3:22-24, he's talking to servants. Now that servant, That could be, he's talking to slaves serving an ungodly master. He's talking to workers who are part of an employment system. He's talking to anyone who serves anywhere. And this is what he says. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So you notice he's not treating the issue of the social issue of slavery. He didn't say a word about it. Just says, if you're in that situation, this is how you conduct yourself. He hadn't come to disrupt the social order. He'd come to change the hearts of men. And he's still doing that. That's what happens in this age, change of the hearts of men. And so he doesn't talk to them about slavery and say, oh, we need to rise up, need to get a team together and go against the Romans. No, that'll all end up badly. He's just saying, if you're in that situation, this is what you do. Don't act out of reluctance and duty, out of eye service, just serving when people are watching. But he says, but do it with sincerity of heart, like you're serving the Lord. For whatever you do, do it heartily, whatever you do. Everything you do, put your heart into it. Do it with a great heart, as to the Lord, as though you're doing it to the Lord. Going to serve cups of tea? Do it unto the Lord. So do a great job. Best cup of tea yet. You know, not to men. So in other words, he's saying all the service is our act of worship to God. I've got a whole series I did on developing intimacy, but a big part, of course, is not just our time in the Lord. It's actually that you see that when you present yourself to him, now you're to live a life of worship. What you do is an act of worship. But that's all in how you do it. You're doing it from the heart unto the Lord, not to men. So if men go treat you badly, it's not a big deal, because actually, what you're serving, I'm serving the Lord. Yes, it really frees you up when you catch this kingdom concept. And he says, and not to men, knowing. And you can do that because you know something, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for the real one you're serving is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter. You know, this is not just about ministers. He's talking just to people who are slaves. And of course, slaves are treated badly. They're abused. All kinds of stuff happens. He's saying, if you're a kingdom person, this is how you do your life differently now. You're not rebelling and grumbling and mumbling and groaning and complaining. You do things joyfully because you're serving the Lord. It's a great delight to do it. You put yourself and your heart into it as if you were serving the Lord himself. And the reason you can do it is what you know. The boss may treat you badly, but I got a payday coming, knowing from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. See, there is an inheritance laid up in heaven. Heaven is not the reward. An inheritance is laid up in heaven for us. So this is where we qualify. This is where we qualify. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So for he who's done wrong will be repaid for what he's done. No partiality with God. In other words, God doesn't take into account how important you are when he evaluates what you're doing. Okay. So there are many different types of rewards, and it does require a response. Now, rewards are not given automatically. They're just not, they don't just, well, I'm entitled. Well, that may be the way of the world, but it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. There's no entitlement in the kingdom. And always you've got to fulfill some condition. So you need to look, what is the reward and what is my part in positioning myself for that? Go look through them, study them. And like, for example, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes, I will sit with me, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. So Jesus has been given a place of responsibility, authority, and governance. And he said, now, what I did was I served faithfully and God made me a place in his throne. And the same way that happened to me, I'm going to let it happen to you. What is the difference between sitting in the throne with him and sitting around the throne or being on the edge of heaven? I won't get into it today, but there are realms of reward and realms of glory. Not everyone in heaven will be equal. I know we don't like that, but it just is how it is. There are levels of honor and greatness in the kingdom. There are those who are greatest and there are those who are least. So that tells you that there's rewards and honors in different ranks in the coming kingdom. Just like today in the earth, there are people with different ranks of responsibility and office. It's like that in the kingdom. The angels are ranked. It's not that more important, it's just they've got a different rank of a sphere of operation is greater. The honor on them is greater. See, doesn't fit the Kiwi mindset very well. We all want everyone to be equal, but it just isn't that way. In the kingdom, there are realms and ranks in the kingdom. And so your life here is preparing you for some degree of rank and whatever in the coming kingdom.
Mm. Very good.
So you may, people may not know you here, but God knows you. And so the person, what we're going to be surprised is the ones that he honors the most will be the ones we never noticed. How did that happen? And he will bring it out in the open, and what they wear, their garment will radiate and inform you what it is they did. And you say, oh, well, they were deserving. Okay. So here's another. So they're not given automatically. Here's another scripture, John 12:26. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now you notice that being honored by the Father has to do with our serving and following Jesus. You think, what? Well, I looked at that scripture and thought, that's a strange scripture there. If anyone serves Jesus, let him follow me. And I thought, that is very weird. I thought it'd be the other way around. If someone follows me, should serve and show he's following me by serving. That's the way I thought it should be. And I read it a few times and then I realized, oh no. He said, what he's saying is, if any man serve me, then he needs to adopt my lifestyle. To follow Jesus means to copy or model your life on how he did his life and the values he had. So if you're serving him, then we need to follow. The following him means laying down our life as he did. And he says, if you serve him, the Father will honor you. So notice now, honor is connected to service. You want the gold watch? Get serving. It's just as simple as that. I see you thinking about that, aren't you? Notice that always in the Bible, when it talks about the rewards, it'll always connect it to something you did. Serving or overcoming. Something you accomplished, some service you did, or something you overcome, or something that you have become in your life. So small sacrifices, small things now, little things now, have big recompense. So God is generous. He's not like a holdout. That's why you got to get out of this thought that God is sort of watching now and judge you. No, no, no. It's not like that at all. He's saying, this is my family. I want to promote my family and bring them into great honor. I just got to find something that I can put honor on. Is there anything I can put honor on? You say, well, look, I did this and this and this. Okay, let's pull it all out and let's have a look why you did it and what was going on and what you really did. Oh, okay. Looking a bit different now. Or you say, wow, awesome. Wow, have I got something for you. Little, much. Little, much. So everything we're doing now is little. What God's rewarded is much. So it says, for example, in Matthew 12:19-29, anyone who's left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold. So in other words, there's much more than what you gave up. And inherit eternal life. So God is a rewarder. See, he does it. Here's another one, Matthew 25:21. Matthew 25:21. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. So he said, few things, little things, ruler over many things. So he couldn't make it. How could he make it clearer? Anything we're serving the Lord and doing now is little. May seem much, but it's really little in terms of what he's done for us. But the little, he will honor it with much. So just even quiet little practical serving, doing things to help people, little it seems, but in God's eyes, much. Rewarded much. I love it all. So God remembers and rewards us far beyond what we have done. That's the thing you've got to catch. Whatever God's pay is, it's out of proportion to what you did. So we would look and say, someone is a job, okay, I'll give you $10 an hour to do that job. God said, no, I'm going to give you $2,000. Oh, wow, okay, count me in. I'll make the cup of tea. With a smile. You understand? I'm trying to just get you to get thinking that God is not a holdout. He's a rewarder. Rewarder means he pays out. He's generous. In every way, he's generous. So what he gives is totally out of proportion to what we've done. That's why it becomes such a shock to people. Okay, then. So then we need to have a look at these rewards. And so I'll go through and I'll give you just a bit of an outline of them. And tomorrow we'll touch on some of them a little more. But really, you could go into each one and develop each one, which I'll do some of tomorrow. Okay, so here we go. Many rewards that are mentioned. So the first one, and the one I love the most, is eternal intimacy. Now remember, whatever reward you get is eternal reward. Eternal reward means it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and never stops. And if you didn't get it, goes on and on and on that you never got it. That's what eternal means. You can't change it. It's eternal. So right now, it's time or temporal. You've got a season of time to do something that will be eternal for you. It's trying to get understanding, because we just think in terms of what's in front of us rather than think, actually, I've got a limited amount of time, 70, 80, 90 years, that's it. For some, it's a lot less than that. And in that time, I've got the opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven that'll be for eternity. So don't waste your time. Don't waste it on trivia. Don't waste it on someone else's stuff. Spend it and invest it on God's stuff so you have treasure in heaven. That's what he's saying. So the first one, the most important one, and I won't develop them, I'll just list them tonight and just go to somewhere else. So the first one's eternal intimacy. There are degrees of intimacy with God. Well, I just thought he loved everyone. Yeah. Yeah, but loving everyone is his gift to you. Connecting with him and being close to him is something different. Right. Intimacy has to do with two people being very close and sharing their lives with one another. So it's one thing to be in a meeting and the king comes in. It's another thing for him to invite you home. Oh, I thought it was all going to be equal. No, because there's some on thrones and there's some around the throne and some in the far distance of heaven. The kingdom is graduated. That's how it is. So notice here, and Matthew 25, verse 10, while they went to buy, that's the virgins, we'll go into that tomorrow, the bridegroom came, those who were ready went into the wedding. Now what was that about? They went into the wedding. These are the virgins that are going to marry the groom, and they go into the wedding. Now going into the wedding, it means they're going into intimacy. This is a marriage feast. This is a time of celebration. Some go in, some don't go in. We'll go into that one in detail of what the difference is tomorrow. And so intimacy, eternal intimacy. Here's another one. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes, I'll give him of the hidden manna to eat. I'll give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. Well, of course, you look at that and think, well, I know what all that means. Move on. No. He's saying, now listen carefully. To him that overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna to eat. Now, what does the manna refer to? Manna was the miracle provision of God to feed them. Jesus said, man shall not live by by bread alone, but by every word that God is speaking. So he's talking about hidden manna. Now, the hidden manna was the portion of bread that came in the wilderness, and they hid it in the holy place in the tabernacle. Hidden manna then, the place that thing was hidden, it was hidden in the ark in the holy place. Only the high priest could go there. So what he's saying is, if you overcome, I will give you access to the deepest intimacy with me. And then, all of these things we take time to. I haven't got the time to explain them all, but the white stone with your name written on it. What's all that? Well, you got to then look at everyone knew what that was in their day. Because if you were an athlete and you competed and you won in their competitions, one of the things you got was a stone. They put your name on it and you had access to all the high festivities. If you didn't have it, you couldn't get in. You were invited to all the flashes, paces, to all the celebrity. You were a celebrity that was given access to the highest people in society to go into their homes with them. You're a famous person. Now, so you've got to do some searching if you want to see it, but I'm trying to make it really clear. What he's doing is he's using some pictures to help you see there are levels of intimacy with God. And the Bible talks about the angels who are in his presence. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw into the throne of God, and they're like this, whoa, holy, 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 he's amazing. And tomorrow, whoa, he's still amazing, more amazing. Oh, we sing even more. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The depth and riches of God are so unsearchable. All your life you'll be coming to know him more intimately and in his presence a fullness of joy. So what he's trying to put in a language that could be understood is one of the rewards of serving him is a level of intimacy offered to you that's greater than others. Where he shares things with you he didn't share with others. Jesus even did it while he's alive. Like he had the 12, then he had the 3, then he had the 1. The 3 he took with him and he showed him his glory that was coming. Now, wouldn't you want to be one of the 3? Well, there it is. I mean, this is what he's saying, that there's a prize for faithfulness to him. So there's one. Okay, then. And there's other scriptures, but I've given you a couple. That's all you need. The second reward that's mentioned a tremendous amount, and these first three are the most important ones. The others all relate to them or are connected or another way of stating them. The second one is eternal authority. Eternal authority. Luke 19, verse 17, because you are faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Have authority. So eternal authority. In other words, God will give us different assignments with different measures of authority and responsibility. He that overcomes, he will rule over the nations. So what God is saying is that faithfulness in a few things here will qualify you for authority and responsibility over much in the future. Well, you can say, oh, well, I'm just happy to scrape in. I don't want all that kind of responsibility. Well, you won't have it, that's for sure. And you look at others who do and say, oh, I'd like that. But it'd be too late. You've missed your chance. Now, it's not saying we have to be important in this life. It just means whatever we do, we serve faithfully in. Okay? The third one is what we call eternal glory. The eternal authority is because it's always been the plan of God that you would work alongside him as a son and share with him in governing all of his creation, and of the increase of that government, it'll never end. So we don't know in the eternal kingdom what that could look like. We only know just this much, that what you do now makes a difference then. Whoa. Exciting. Oh, the third one then is eternal garments. Eternal glory. See? Eternal glory. So God's glory will manifest in our bodies. You remember Jesus went up on the mountain, Matthew chapter 70, he went up on the mountain, and then he began to pray. His body radiated glory, lit the place up. His face shone like the sun, lit everything up. In other words, there was a radiant glory. Remember, the high priest was given garments of beauty and glory. So it's all a picture of our resurrection body. Our resurrection bodies will have different degrees of glory, different degrees of honor, just like wearing garments. Some are better than others. You know, you can go down the op shop or you can go down and buy something nice. So what he's saying here is there will be different degrees of glory manifested. In Matthew 13, 43, the righteous shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So he's saying that in the kingdom, in the coming kingdom, you will radiate the life of God. Now, we're going to look into the resurrection body tomorrow. I'll speak on the first resurrection, and then I want to do a session on our resurrection body, what it is, what it's like. Oh, really? Man, I mean, the more you look at it, I just want to go home and study more. It's just so exciting. Okay, so eternal glory. And I think that's connected to reward for eternal garments. In Revelation 3, 4, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. So it suggests then that there'll be different types of clothing with unique designs and fabric and brightness and color. I mean, God is creative. It's not like, hello, we're in heaven, we're all just got a white cloak on like a toga and that's that. How boring. I mean, really? If that's what you're thinking, where did that come from? Whole lot of people standing around, all looking, smiling, playing harps and wearing some white toga. It's not going to be like that. The white garment is referring to garments of beauty and glory. God is incredibly creative. Have a look at his nature, how he's revealed himself in his nature. He's diverse. So when you are given garments, the garments will be clothing of various levels of radiant beauty and glory and majesty that will reflect and shine and reveal what kind of person you are, what kind of life you've lived. Your works follow you. In other words, the garments will reveal the kind of person you were, what you did. You've got to get out of religious concepts and into, this is what God is trying to give us a glimpse of. Radiant glory. Oh, it's eternal. Never taken away once you got it. Whoa. Victor's crowns is another one. See? Victor's crown, James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, means resists and overcomes. For when he's been tested or and approved, he will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1 verse 12. So the Bible talks of victor's crowns. Crown, the word Stephanos, it's a laurel wreath that goes around the head of someone who won in the games. Someone plays in the games and they win, they stand on the victor's dais and they get the laurel crown. Now, the nearest equivalent we would have would be in the Olympics, they get the gold medal, silver medal, bronze medal. See, there are different kinds of medals depending on how you achieved or what you did. And it's absolutely, it's always moving when you look at the Olympic Games and the Kiwi gets a gold. And they stand up there and he gets the gold and they play our anthem. It's a great joy when all that happens. Now, how many have felt themselves feeling quite emotional when that happens? Why? Because you're reminded in your spirit man of our desire for glory and honor that God one day wants to put upon us. That's why when you see any movie or story of someone who's beaten down and rejected and they rise up and they become honored, it moves our heart because it's our story. It's our story and it resonates in our spirit. Every person has a desire for glory and honor. Don't say you don't, it's in your spirit. It's core of your being. The awareness, I'm living in a vile, weak body. I'm not clothed like I should be. Every human is aware that there's something missing. It's the glory of God, the honor of God over our lives. How wonderful God promises that. Oh, to stand. Well done! It doesn't matter what anyone else says. I want Jesus to say that. So there are crowns in heaven. So you can have a look in the Bible and search up crowns, find out the different kind of victor's crown, the different kind of crowns. There's various crowns. You didn't even know there was a crown. Now there's many crowns. Okay. It says, and they threw their crowns at his feet. In other words, they acknowledge that he is the one who made all of this possible. I love it all. I just want to spend more time in it now. Just talking about it's got me fired up again. And here's another thing that'll happen in the realm of the kingdom. People will receive honor and praise from the Lord. Everyone will receive praise from the Lord. You know, it says, then the Lord comes, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. It said, then each one's praise or affirmation will come from God. So it doesn't matter what people say or think about you right now. What really counts is what God has to say. It says, then every man who qualifies will receive praise and honor from God. That's the one you want to get the praise from. Remember in the story of the in the book of Luke, you know, the pounds, and the book of Matthew, the story of the talents. The first thing they got was commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you want. You want to hear him say, well done. You want to hear his praise. Everyone wants to hear their father say, I love you and I'm proud of you. Why? When it's withheld, it hurts. When it's given, it brings such joy. Why? Because it's part of a bigger picture. of a heavenly Father, and one day we want to hear him say, son, daughter, I'm so proud of you. You did so well. I saw what you endured when no one else was there, and I am so proud of you and what you did. You have done well. Have I got a treat for you? You see, that's all you really want to do is serve with one person's approval in mind. If people don't say anything, too bad. There's one. I am living for the audience of one. If other people don't like it, it's too bad. That doesn't count for me. What I'm looking for is this. Well done. Well done. I want my Father to say, well done. I'm so pleased. You brought me such pleasure. Well, come on, that's what he's looking for. We are made for his pleasure. He wants to delight in you. So live a life that honors him, not brings shame and embarrassment to him. You're getting real quiet now. See, in heaven, Jesus talked about riches and treasure. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in. He doesn't say what the treasures are. But we know that heaven's paved with gold, so it's probably not gold. It must be something greater than that. But if Jesus said, lay up treasure, there's treasure can be stored up, or wealth can be stored for you in heaven, he doesn't explain what all that means. He said, that's where you should make your focus. So therefore, don't set your heart on anything you can see, because it's only temporary. Set your heart on what God has. So this is all through the Bible, these things are there. How about that? And here's another thing that will happen, which is quite, it's actually a reward in some ways, is what we call vindication before your enemies. Vindication. Vindication means after years of being misunderstood, finally God reveals exactly what you have done. And reveals and shows to everyone, actually, this boy's done well, this girl's done well. To vindicate you means to prove you were right, to prove to give you justice. So vindication is quite a big deal. And God says that. He says to the overcomers in Revelation 3:9, I will make those of the synagogue who say they are Jews but are not and lie, I'll make them come and worship before your feet and know I have loved you. So in other words, one of the big things is that although Christians may be despised and hated and looked down on or badly treated or whatever, there'll come a day when God will show, actually, these are ones I love and you treated them badly. So firstly, I'm going to show how much I love them by honoring them in front of you, and you can do nothing about it. Secondly, I'm going to deal with you because of how you treated them. That's what vindication looks like. So it doesn't matter if you have injustice now, because one day God will vindicate you. So leave the vengeance to him and just get on with your life and let go and resolve the injustices. Very good. Okay, well, so of all of these rewards, I think can be summed up under the three things there. One is eternal intimacy, eternal responsibility and authority, and eternal glory, because they correspond exactly to the three dimensions of sonship. The first thing we're called to in our role as a son is intimacy with our Father. This is eternal life, that they know you. And so the reward is intimacy at a level we've never experienced. To experience and feel his love, his embrace, our unity with him, the closeness with him, sharing his heart with us, telling us things he doesn't tell anyone else, intimacy. Second is, sons are all called to serve their father, and so responsibility and authority are given. So the thing that is given as a reward, if you're faithful in a little, I will greatly and vastly increase the realm that you are able to work and serve me and represent me, that I will work alongside you in. And then thirdly, we saw that the third aspect of sonship was the area of transformation. So we represent our Father. So representing our Father means allowing him to change us. If we let God change us, he will clothe us with his glory. So clothed in glory, access to intimacy, and being given authority to serve are the very big, those are the characteristics of the three major eternal rewards. And who would want to miss out on any of them? You get all of them. You get all of them. they're all part of the bundle of being an overcomer, what you get. So why don't we just put a hold right now, and then we'll have a break for 5 minutes, and I'll come back, and I'll just carry on, and I'll share a little bit more. Then we'll have a chance just to worship God again and worship the King. Amen?